for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, August 29, 2003. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. James Golden of Belize, Central America, is the speaker on this.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto the Lord and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He didn't say, well, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, I said, oh, no, I got to go through that again. David didn't say that. There are probably people who have thought that before, and maybe you have, and I'm sure, I know I have, different times. I tell you, but it's just a wonderful experience to get together in the unity of the Spirit, in the bonds of peace, as it was on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, of one accord. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place where they were seated, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know the story. I tell you, He's the same Lord. He's the same Holy Ghost. He's just as real to us in this year of 2003 as we sit together in one mind and of one accord. We're not just in a geographic location in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. He has raised us up to sit together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you feel like that you're seated, you know, I mean, just in a building somewhere and just with some people and not necessarily with the Lord and just in your natural surroundings and natural circumstances, and if that's all you can see and understand, well, Lord bless you. Oh, but I tell you what, God wants us to look beyond everything. He wants us to see Him. Oh, yes, He wants us to see His plan and His purposes. He wants us to see ourselves as seated together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Whoo, can you say amen? Anybody feel like shouting this morning? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We've got something to shout about. We read in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah gives a relation, an account. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one of them having three wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. With twain He did fly. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All the earth is filled with His glory. And the post of the door moved at the sound of Him that spoke. And the whole house was filled with smoke. Yes, I'm telling you, He's a glorious God. He's a wonderful God. Let's look upon Him today as a wonderful and a glorious God. I tell you what, you know, people say, I want my cup to be full. But I tell you what, if we let loneliness and let the blues creep in, you know, well, it's like having a cup that's upside down. When the glory, the spout of glory is coming out. And even if you got your cup in the right position, I mean, it's right up, you know, and you don't get it right under that spout, you know, well, you can just stand there and just hold it all day. I tell you what, we need to learn how to keep our cup right side up and keep it under the spout where the glory is coming out. Can you say amen? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. He didn't say he would have a dead church. He's not coming back after a dead church. He's coming back after a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. Oh, he said in St. John 10:10, the thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Do you feel life this morning?
Amen.
Now, I read of some that the Apostle Paul wrote about. He said, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. I read of some that in one particular church, Jesus was telling them in the book of Revelation, you have this testimony, that you're living and are dead. Praise God for life. Praise God for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. For spiritual life in Christ Jesus. People hear about, you know, the mission field, all sicknesses and the diseases that are there. The guerrilla warfare that we have lived right through it and seen it. And they think, ooh, that is so horrible. And they hear of a lot of the things that's going on. Some have actually come and visited us. If you feel like you'd like to, just come on down. Just come on down. We live in the country of Belize in Central America. Some people maybe got a little idea where that is. But in different places, well, tell me just how to get there. In different places where we have ministered in churches, the pastor would say, would you tell the congregation where it is and just how to get there? So, most of you probably know how to drive to Brownsville, Texas. As far south in Texas as you can get and cross over into Mexico. And just keep going in Mexico. All the way down through Tampico and Veracruz and Escarcega and Villahermosa and Chetumal and stay kindly on the eastern side. So you're all the way through Mexico. When you get all the way through Mexico, you're in Belize. Oh, that's how you get there. Well, praise God, He is a God that keeps, right? The Scripture speaks of people, you know, a person that's really walking with the Lord. Keep it. Himself. The Bible does mention that. But I tell you what, we can't keep, the Lord can. The Apostle Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed under his trust against that day. Praise God for the way he keeps us. Praise God for using other people. And he does it not just ourselves out here alone on our own little old limb doing our own little thing. But oh, praise God, we are a body. I praise God for giving me the sweetest woman I ever met in all of my life to be my lifelong companion on the mission field. You know, before we were married, you know, we had met and my heart had turned somersaults several times, and I took it to the Lord. And I really felt assurance from the Lord, but I had done missionary work for a while, been in Mexico some before we were married. But before I ever went to Mexico, I put it to her. And I asked her I said, I don't want any answer, yes or no. I just want you to pray and seek the Lord to know his will. And so we kindly left it that way. I took off to Mexico. And just as the Lord had given me assurance, he gave her that wonderful assurance that it was his will. So on February the 24th in 1961, down here on Spring Street, not too far from where you go and drive your automobile and put your jug under that spout where the water comes out, you know. Right in the view of that place, down a little ways, is where the chapel stood. Well, we were joined together in holy matrimony. And as Brother Glenn said, not long after that, we took off to spend our honeymoon on the mission field. And we have been on our honeymoon, I've been on the mission field ever since then.
And the Lord going,
I tell you what, let's give the Lord a big hand clap offering.
Yes, praise God. Hallelujah.
He wants us to be alert. Well, I thank the Lord that he didn't give me the tallest woman in the state of Arkansas, neither the fattest woman in the state of Arkansas, neither the shortest woman in the state of Arkansas. I'm thankful that he gave me the sweetest woman in the state of Arkansas. And I'm wondering if it would be all right with all of y'all if the sweetest woman in the whole state of Arkansas were to come right here and say some words. Is Willie's microphone on?
It's a privilege to be back at Lake Hamilton again. It's always a privilege to serve God. No matter where you're at or what you're doing, you can serve God. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, the sixth verse. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. You know, that's what the Lord has been speaking to us. We have dwelt long enough in the condition that we're in the place that we're in. We've dwelt there long enough. Let's go on. Let's go further. Let's go up. There's another scripture in the second chapter. You have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. And not too long before we left, the Lord spoke this to me. Turn ye northward. We knew we would be going north, and north means up. Let's don't stay here. Let's go up when God says go. Let's stay when God says stay. And encamp where God wants us to encamp. It's a real, real privilege to be standing here and doing what God has had us to do over the years. I remember when James and I married, I didn't know what I was getting into. And going to a place, he was working with orphan children, dirty with lice all over their heads, and I had no idea what I was getting into. But you know, God did, and he gave us compassion for those little kids. He gave us compassion for the poor people. And we have worked with the poor people ever since we were in Mexico and ever since we've been in Belize. Also in Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras, we have worked with the poor people. And it's a privilege to go into these places and minister to these people that have nothing, these people that are looking to God for help, and the Lord will always send them help. And 2 years ago, the Lord sent us to El Salvador. And I'm not much one to get up in front of people. And there under the big shed, I think there was, they estimated there was about 8,000 people there. And the pastor, I was going to hide back in the back among all the women. But he says, no, he said, you come up here on the platform. So I went up there. And he says, you've got to speak to these people. And I thought, me? Speak to all of those people? And when I walked up there, I thought, Lord, you're going to have to blind all of these people to me so that I won't see all of them out there in front of me. And let me speak what you want me to speak. And you know, it was a privilege to stand up and speak to those 8,000 people. Never again have I done that. But God gave us the privilege of ministering to that many people at one time. And I'm so thankful for what God has done in our life. You know, somebody asked me to tell a story how God supplied our needs 1 year. We were here in the States and different things had been given to us. And being residents of Belize, we have to pay import tax on everything that we take in. And different electrical things had been given to us. We got to the border and the official figured up how much we owed. We paid him. had very little money left. And me, I was thinking of my kids. Lord, how are you going to supply food for these two children until we can hear from the United States again? Sometimes it takes 3 weeks to get mail. And so we went home. I walked into our house, and little animals had moved into our house. Being wood building, you know, little rats can chew in and come into your house. And so I looked around, and I noticed a lot of evidence that rats had moved into our house. I began to clean up the rat mess, and Brother Golden began to set traps to catch the rats. One morning I came downstairs, and there in the trap was a big rat. And we have a way of tying their legs and letting the dogs catch them so that they'll learn to kill them before they come into our house. That's one way that we have helped keep them out of our house, is our dogs will kill them. They don't eat them, they'll just kill them. So I looked, and between my stove and my cabinet was a huge bath towel. And I thought, I've got a rat nest under that cabinet. So I took everything out of the cabinet and picked it up and moved it. And there was this huge rat nest. It looked like she had chewed up a whole roll of toilet tissue. She had belts. She had socks. She had washcloths. She had dishcloths all in her little nest. And laying right on top of that nest was a $20 bill. Not a tooth mark in that $20 bill. And you know, rats just don't do that. They chew up all every paper that they can get. Well, I thanked the Lord for $20. And two or three days later, I was cleaning in another place. Another huge rat nest, another $20 bill. Not a tooth mark in it. A few days after that, our daughter was cleaning in our bathroom. Another huge rat nest, and the third $20 bill. At that time, $20 was the largest bills that we had in Belize. Now they got larger. But all three of those $20 bills did not have a tooth mark in it. And it's a miracle that they didn't have teeth mark in them because of the rat. So you can say, well, if it had just been one, it might have been something. But since there were three of them and no teeth marks, God supplied our needs by the rats for the money that we needed to buy food. We didn't know where that money come from. We was thinking maybe it come from the rum shop, which is two houses from ours. Or maybe it comes from down the street where they sold marijuana. We didn't know. All we knew that God had supplied the need that we had need of. God bless you.
I don't like to be without power. Praise the Lord for the power. Ratten and raven. God used the ravens to feed Elijah, and he used the rats to feed the golden. Somebody asked me if now you've heard of ratten and raven. Different people asked me to play the violin or the fiddle. I told them, well, I try to do a little bit of both. A few days ago, well, somebody, you know, we had plenty of time. Somebody wanted to, you know, hear me play the violin, so I started playing. And the next while, I, you know, got something that was, you might call it, sort of country, you know. And he said, boy, you done went and quit violin playing, done gone to fiddling. That's what he said. Isn't God good? See what I can do. Where we live, in the country we live in, they don't have counties, they have districts. And in the district that we live in, They say there's around 15,000 people. I take their word for it. I never took time to try to count them all. But in that whole district, even if I have to say so, I am the best fiddler in the whole district. Now, listen to me. The only reason because I am the best is because I am the only one in that whole district. If any other came in that district, well, then I'd give them the privilege of, if just one more came, we could say, well, I'll take second place. Isn't God good? Thank you. All right, now let's give a better hand clap for Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, say praise the Lord. Yes, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I like the old songs that I used to hear my grandmother sing, you know. To me, they don't get old. I even like some songs from a songwriter called David. You know, I like to read and sing those songs. They never grow old. Some of those songs we have translated into Spanish. And back down in the jungles where we live and go from village to village, it seems like they prefer fiddling more than violin playing. Is it all right if I cut in on a little bit of fiddling? The style that some of those folks down there use, it might be a little bit different from the usual style up here. But the song speaks about mutual love. It's really mutual love between us and the Lord. You see, the Lord loves everybody, but everybody doesn't love the Lord. He shows His love in many ways, but rebellious man goes his own way. So it's a one-sided love affair. If like this. If a young man just falls madly in love with a young girl and she really don't care for him, but if he goes to her and he says, "Darling, I really do love you and I want to go out with you and I want to get better acquainted with you." But if she says, "Get out of here, I don't want to hear that." That's a one-sided love affair. That's the way some people treat God, you know. The song says, "I love my Savior too." Perhaps some of you have heard this song before.
Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. I sing, onward I go. Closely to him I cling, blessings still flow. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior, he loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do. Cristo, mi Salvador, mi ama, yo sé. Alabanzas a mi Jesús, yo cantaré. Cerca de mi Señor caminaré, Él es mi Salvador. Yo le amo a Cristo, y Cristo me ama a mí. Yo quiero alabarle en toda mi vida aquí. Like the sun, doing his will always, never repine. Kneeling to him I pray, I will not mind. I love my Savior too. I love my Savior, he loves me too. I seek his favor in everything I do.
Yes, let's move quickly into the Word of God. Let's turn to the last chapter in the Bible, 22nd chapter of Revelation. Let us read, beginning with the 13th verse. I want to talk to you this morning about the start and the finish. Now that I've got started, let's see when we'll be able to finish. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might enter in the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. I want to talk to you some about some of the wonderful things God did in the beginning. Back before there were stars, planets, trees, insects, rocks, animals, people, there was God. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Has all power, knows all things, and he exists everywhere. So there he was. But he had a plan. He had something he wanted to start out upon, to start out with. He started his plan. Now, but also, I am sure it's not like us. Sometimes we begin something and wonder if it is going to turn out all right, you know? Sometimes it does, and sometimes we are very disappointed. I am sure that the God that I serve, when he began doing what he was going to do, knew exactly how he was going to finish it, you know, how he was going to begin it, and how he was going to bring it to its final conclusion. I hear gloom and doom. Do you ever hear gloom and doom? Do you ever hear people talk of chaos? Well, I've seen it happen. I've seen troubles and trials and tribulations. And I see that all the judgments of God that are being poured out upon earth that are written in this book, I'm seeing them being fulfilled. God is a righteous judge. He knows what he's doing. But I tell you what, I can look beyond the purpose for which he is judging the earth and the purpose for which he is pouring out his judgments upon the earth. And I can look forward also to the glorious conclusion that God has intended before the foundations of the world. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, if you want to look up and hunt up my mistakes, if it gives you joy to catch me making mistakes, I'll give you something to rejoice about probably. But in Psalm 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yes, in that psalm, David Kenney got to the beginning of the psalm, and he brought it down through the different stages to the real conclusion. He spoke of God's glory out there. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And he says there is no speech. It's not a language that you hear, not an audible voice. There is no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. But there, he was speaking of how perfect, how wonderful, how glorious, how majestic all of that is out there that God did. It's so glorious and wonderful. You know, way off out there, so far away, and way back so far long ago in the beginning. But it was great. I mean, wonderful, marvelous. Mankind has marveled at the heavens. In recent years, they have sent a telescope out in orbit. It's out there on a satellite. And they have remote control, and they can guide it here. And they can see things that they couldn't see. You see the gases that are in the air here. Well, you know, they distort the view somewhat. And we've got oxygen, we've got helium, we got hydrogen, we got nitrogen all here in the air, you know. And all of that is, it distorts the view. And telescopes in years gone by, although they have made some great and wonderful ones, they realize that it's a sort of distorted view, but they claim with the Hubble they can see further than they have ever seen before, and see different things they never have seen before, and see things clearer than they have ever seen before. You know, way up, out, yonder. And so they wondered what's further beyond what they've been able to see before. Now that they can see further, well, same thing, you know. I mean, just stars. It staggers our imagination to realize that that space above us does not have any end at all. We see things, that violin, it's got the back end, it's got the front end. The bow's got the bottom end and the top end. And we comprehend things that way. And it boggles our mind to think of something that never, never, never does have any place where it stops at all. Now, if it stopped where there was no stars, well, then what's beyond stars, you know? I mean, other space. Well, then, I mean, it goes on and on, not ending at all. To some people, it is difficult to comprehend the fact that God has given to us the gift of eternal life. He that is from everlasting to everlasting has made us so that we can dwell with Him in an everlasting existence forever and ever, with Him in glory forever and ever. He started this in the beginning, and brothers and sisters, it is glorious what He did in the beginning. Out there in the universe, it's glorious and wonderful, but I'm telling you, we're looking forward to something great and glorious and wonderful in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. You might say, what about all the trouble that the Lord has said would come in the last days? Whenever I was a young preacher, before my hair began turning gray and before it began turning loose, well, I sort of took pleasure in speaking some gloom and doom. I kind of saw the effect that it had on the people. And I like to quote the scripture that Paul said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, without natural affections, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." Yep. Lots of dirty stuff. Lots of filthy stuff. God knew there would be. God made the angels innocent, pure. Angels never chewed any tobacco, never dipped any snuff, never chased any wild women, and never gave themselves over to corruption. I mean, they're just there, innocent, praising God, and they're innocent. But I tell you what, people that have been in the gutter and people that have been redeemed from sin, God knew that they would praise Him eternally like none of the angels would ever even know how, would never even be able to comprehend. Angels that can't even look into it, what God has given us, the privilege of knowing freedom, redemption from sin, and having the gift of everlasting life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Angels can't see that. But God could see from the beginning. Can you picture a God that when the devil rebelled, He would sit there on His throne, moaning the blues, gnawing His fingernails,
and whining through his nose, and I didn't know that devil was going to rebel against me. If I'd have known it, I wouldn't have made him in the first place.
Can you picture a God that talks that way? Let me tell you, he knew all about it. He declares the end from the beginning. When Adam and Eve, when the devil was in the garden, can you picture a devil, can you picture God, Ted, talking to the angel saying, you know, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. That old mean devil is down there corrupting my beautiful creation, and he's deceiving Adam and Eve, and he's corrupting the garden. I don't know how in the world I'm going to fix it up. I don't know how in the world I'm going to patch it up. If I'd have known the devil was going to do that, I wouldn't have made him in the first place. Can you picture a God that talks like that, thinks like that? We think like that sometimes, I think. In Isaiah, the 5th chapter, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. As the heaven is high above the earth in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, says, so great is his mercy toward us. Far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our sin from us. So you see, God knew that fallen man that would serve him willfully and would seek him willfully, like the angels, you know, I mean, there, it's not so much as willfully, but fallen man that would seek him for redemption, fallen man that has known the horrors of sin and wickedness and the horrors of the horrible pit, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Good sinners and bad sinners, they have done a lot of horrible, corrupt sinners, and those that just, you know, I mean, since their youth, they've never really done any bad sin. They're all sinners, every one of them. Everyone in the horrible pit, same old pit. But when God brings someone out of the pit, like David said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard me and listened to my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Put a new song in my mouth, even a song of praise. Many shall hear thereof and be glad and trust in the Lord. Yes, God knows. He's got in his mind, before he ever built the earth, the conclusion that he would bring forth a church without spot and without wrinkle, and people that would praise him like the angels never have been able to praise him and worship him. Okay, now. So he did something glorious out there when he made all those stars. I read a little bit of astronomy. I read about phasars and quasars, and I read about supernovas, and I read about galaxies, and looked at them just a little bit, maybe through a little telescope. Mankind is so fascinated. Down where we live, they have ancient Indian ruins, and they have certain observatories, and they know by their hieroglyphics how that they spent lots of time just looking at the stars, studying the stars, and learning all they could about stars. Well, they're there. Why not, you know? And that's the way mankind has been throughout the ages. Stars. He's got a telescope, 6 feet long, more or less. Probably that. He's got a dial, like a computerized dial, D-I-A-L. And he punches in, and he's taken a course and learned what to punch in to make that. And I didn't even look through his telescope, but he had different ones of the rows. I'll show you something. So he would punch in onto that, and he'd call off what it is and what they're. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fantastic? Now let me show you something else. He'd do that. Dial right around there. It's that remote control. Put it spotting out on this here. He really knew a whole lot about the heaven, how magnificent the heavens are. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I've told you what he did in the beginning and what he will do in the final conclusion. But let me tell you, he is a here and now God. He is now in the process of doing what he intended to do all along.
He's in the process of doing in you and me what he intended to do before we ever knew there was a God, before we ever had an idea there was a God. And let me tell you, just as those heavens out there declare the glory of God in the firmament, showeth his handiwork, God is in the process of doing his handiwork in human vessels. The Apostle Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency may be of Christ and not of ourselves. The glory of God. In the book of Hebrews, it tells that God, in the fullness of time, brought forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. It goes on to say that he is the express image of God. All of God's goodness, all of his love, all of his mercy, all of his compassion was revealed fully in our Lord Jesus Christ. He says on one occasion, it's not I that doeth the work, it is the Father that worketh in me. I and my Father are one. He said on one occasion, then shall you know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you and me. So you see, he that made the stars didn't stop there. He that made it known in the beginning that he is wonderful and glorious is in the process of carrying out his wonderful and glorious work right here in earthen vessels in this year of 2003. He is in the process of forming in us, creating in us his great love, his great mercy, his great compassion for the people that are hurting, people all around you. Just yesterday, I rode with a brother that gets surplus stuff from supermarkets. Probably some of you know him, Kenneth Horner. And he got some of that, drove over to something like a rescue mission. Good fresh stuff, but it wasn't real fresh enough to keep out on the shelf. But then it furnishes food for people that are in the gutter. He told of some of those people who are really hurting and own drugs and into all kinds of sin and lust. And their lives are really in bondage. And some of them who have really been set free from that bondage. God wants his love to burn in you and me so much. He who did something glorious out there in the stars is working in you and me his glorious love and his glorious compassion for this wicked, sinful world. For God so loved the world, he loved a sinful and hurting world, that he sent forth the solution and the remedy. So he used his Son, but he uses us. He brings us into sonship, into mature sonship, so that that same love and compassion that was in Christ Jesus is being manifest in us. I'd like to tell you an example of how God dealt with us to reveal his love to some people that was in need. A brother in another country bought a piece of property. And he didn't know if he'd ever be able to build a church there or not. He told us about the property and about the place, asked us if we would go. At that time, Marlene and I, we just had our daughter. She was about 2 years old. So I prayed about it. I felt sure it was the Lord's will. We took off down there. We got over late in the evening. We didn't really have enough money to buy any motel. Really, wasn't any motels all around there. Didn't know just exactly where we were going to sleep. We had a two-seated car. I drove up to the place, and there had been some store buildings there. It was on the back edge of a place they called Ciudad Obregón in the state of Sonora in Mexico, the state that joins on to Arizona, but in the southern part of the state. I drove up on the property, and since it was had been an abandoned piece of property, people had used it for a dump to dump rubbish. So when I look at the place, I have to be careful here. I've been living, you know, on the mission field so long, I have to realize that there's some people that can't stand to hear some of these, you know, things that polluted and corrupt and awful rottenness of some things that you see. But it was awful. They hadn't only dumped paper and tin cans and things like that. They had dumped, you know, their buckets were just about as filthy a stuff as you can imagine. It was a corrupt place, a place where you don't want to be. When we drove up there, my first thoughts was, I got to get my wife and kids out of here. No matter where we go, we got to get out of here. But I wanted to walk around and look over the place. My thoughts was, well, yeah, but I came now. I've seen, and I'll go somewhere else and find, park by a service station and sleep in an automobile by a service station. Kind of had those thoughts. The wonderful God that had created those great stars and done his glorious work out there, I felt him moving on my heart. I felt him rebuking me from my selfishness and dealing with my flesh and thinking just of myself. When I walked around the place, a lot of people in that area, a lot of especially little kids, looking with inquisitive eyes. I got brave enough to walk right across some of that rubbish, and they see me walking across that rubbish, and then quite a few adults come out. Well, I was getting ready to go, getting ready to tell my wife, we got to get out of here. I'm sure she would have agreed. But God spoke. God moved. God intervened. God did his work of straightening me out. Now, he's still doing it, you know. I stay open for him to, you know, do a lot more straightening out. Are you? You feel that way about it? Uh-huh. Okay. I looked at those little children there. I felt the Lord's compassion, that the Lord wanted to reveal his love and compassion to them, to me, you know, rather than me go my way and seek for my safety and seek for pleasant things. But when the Lord rebuked me and made me know that instead of going away and leaving those people and leaving that rubbish, that he wanted to express his love to those people, he wanted to express his goodness, his mercy. We talk about his goodness and his mercy, but I tell you what, he wants to use it through you and me. The most horrible people that you've ever been around, and the people that's out there in the most horrible gutter, God wants to use you to reveal his mercy and his compassion to them. When God spoke to me, I was thinking, well, now, God, thank you for speaking to me. I'm willing. Now you got to speak to my wife. I told my wife, I said, God said for us to stay here. God said for us to stay here and minister. I expected her to say, I don't see how. We got this little baby. There's all kind of sickness and disease, amoebic dysentery. But she said, whatever God says, I'm willing to do whatever God says. I thank God for a faithful wife who has been faithful for all these years through all the hardships and difficulties. I knew I had to get off of the street, unpaved street, you know. It had rained a lot there. There was a murky ditch. People had dumped buckets, you know, in that ditch. I knew that if there was a heap of rubbish, that I couldn't hardly drive on that heap of rubbish like it was. And if I got beyond that ditch, I'd get a running start. I asked some boys, anybody here know where you can get a pick and a shovel? I need to move some of that stuff. Immediately they ran, grabbed a pick and a shovel. I got up on top of that rubbish, begin picking away at it. When we get it done before dark, leveled off that heap of rubbish, I got back and got a running start. I landed right on that flat place on that big heap of rubbish. I took the backs off of the front seat, and they would kind of jam in. You pulled front seats back a little bit. There were some old boards there. We got the old boards and laid them out, and we had some quilts and blankets, and we spread it there. My wife, a little baby, a little girl 2 years old,
and I, we weren't able to sleep very much. It was very hot weather. Mosquitoes were bad. Someone saw that, you know, mosquitoes were bad. One guy had a mosquito net, and he said, I can't stand the thoughts. The mosquitoes biting that little girl. They said, you can have my mosquito net. That was a lifesaver. We put that mosquito net down over, rolled the windows down. We didn't have any electricity, any fan. You're in that area, like in Arizona, July and August, and sleeping in an automobile at night with no air conditioner, no fan. Had to drink plenty of water because, and we had to sleep with our clothes on because through that mosquito net, a lot of little Mexican eyeballs were, you know, looking at it, very curious. God loved them. It didn't take us long, many days, to clean that place up. God showed us how and helped us. There happened to be a place all about as big as from the piano over here, that place is square. It's part of a roof of an old building. It had a concrete floor. Since it had been an abandoned place, it was used for a very humble purpose, as you might imagine. There was no place to have service except right there. I asked some of the ladies, I said, you know, we won't have service here. Pump up Coleman Leonard for light. I told her, I told some of them, would some of you help clean out that place? And they got buckets of water, soap, and, you know, washed it out best we could. We put up some old boards there. Stacked up some old brick from the rubbish and some boards was there on the property. It was our benches. Even fixed a bench for an altar bench. That lumber had stayed out in that hot sun for a long time. The dry-rotted lumber is sort of grayish. I preached and poured my heart out to those people. See, God's helped me to learn Spanish over the years. Even wept as I was preaching to those people, telling them the goodness of the Lord, His mercy, His great love, and His compassion. They felt it. It wasn't just something that they heard about of a God that's way up yonder. God had mercy on me and rebuked me and delivered me from selfishness there. And God showed to those people that He loved them. And He showed them that His compassion. I gave the invitation. Several people come and knelt at the altar bench that I had made. One dear old lady, I noticed that there were little pools of tears in that stained in that dry-rotted board. I had a camera. I hadn't thought much of my camera. I had some film for taking slide pictures. While I decided after they'd prayed for a while, I wanted to get a picture of that. So I focused my camera, clicked it, not knowing how it would turn out. I've showed those slides in quite a few places. There's one dear old lady that the way that light was shining, there was a big teardrop had run down on her nose, and the glistening light from that teardrop, it really speaks a message. You see, God is good. He that began a good work in you shall also finish it. If we say like the Laodicean church, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, that's, you know, we're high and mighty, and if there's anybody that's got it, we've got it. And I, me, and mine, my little church, and our little group, God doesn't like things like that. He loves unity. He loves for us to reach out to the unlovable. I didn't tell you this. The wall of that, where, you know, I said there was a part of a building still standing. On the other side of the wall, that wall was part of a fence for a hog pen. They had, as where the wall extended, then they continued on with their little fence over here and back over here, and there had hogs over there. It wasn't very pleasant. I don't think it was really a picnic for Jesus to come in the horrible, sinful world and see all the horrors and endure every bit. The Scripture tells us to let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. It tells us, for the joy of the crown that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God, far above all principalities, that he may fill all and all. What does he want to fill? He wants to fill us with his everlasting, his continued love, mercy, and compassion. That's what he wants. He wants to use you to show that compassion with people right in your area, right where you live, all around you. And even Christian people that you know that are going through trials and tribulation. I think of my own trials and tribulation. There have been times that I have, you know, felt all off alone to myself. And I thank the Lord for allowing that to happen. Because if it wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't, you know, really have much idea about it, really wouldn't understand it. But I praise God for giving me victory and deliverance over my loneliness, over my depressions. I have known deep depression. I have known emotional turmoil. If I were to tell you of some of the experience of my early childhood days, and when I first began to seek the Lord, and my parents turned against me, so bitterly against me, and against this, whole road of religion, and some of the things that I went through with, you would wonder probably if I were telling the truth, you know. I don't want to get into that. The bottom line is, God began his work. And I thank God for those experiences. If I say it's something that I regretted, you know, and I'm still fretful of those experiences, the Scripture says, we glory also in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience hope, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in the, by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. I mentioned that they had the hog pen there. It had been a garage. There was a concrete floor there. We got busy to building a church building. Like I say, we began the work of cleaning that place up, removing the rubbish, digging the foundation for a church building. We had to tear that wall down. So they'd do something else with the hog. When we tore the building down, the old pieces of building down, well, you know, there's nowhere else to have service. And they had to move the hog. So they cleaned up that place where it was a garage the best they could. Said, this is our property. If you want to, come in right here and have service right here. Now, you used to hearing missionaries tell about some great, fabulous, clean, nice, sweet, pleasant things. But having church service where just 2 days ago was a hog pen. Did you ever hear of that? So they cleaned it up, made it look a whole lot better, and maybe, I'm sure it smelled a little bit. There's something about poor, humble people that live around those surroundings that it doesn't bother them so much. And there's something about us highfalutin gringos that it does bother us. And that kind of people, naturally, we don't want to be in those surroundings. We had sickness and diseases, different sicknesses during that time that we were there. But we had services in the hog pen. After they'd moved the hog. And you know, it didn't bother God. He moved wonderfully. Lots of souls come to the Lord. There was a harvest of souls in that area. We built a church building. I have quite a few pictures from the time we first arrived there. Our automobile on top of the rubbish with the mosquito net down over the windows. Of the people praying around the altar. Of the place where we began digging the ditches to lay the foundation from the church building. And when we left there, there was a nice church building on the place, a pastor that God had set over the congregation, a congregation of humble people. I haven't been there since 1960, 1967. But I've written letters, and I get wonderful news that the church is still there. And other people are coming to the Lord, and they're reaching out in other areas with the gospel. Yes, God, who created the heavens and earth, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. That was the beginning. But now in us, he began in you, and his work that he's beginning in you was like the psalmist of David. He carried it through to the law of the Lord, testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. All are wonderful. All are wonderful. But he realized his helplessness as far as his ability to obey all the rules, to keep all the law. They're so great, so magnificent, and so wonderful. In the book of Ezekiel, it said God gave them ordinances too wonderful for them. The strictest people we ever read about in the Bible were called Pharisees. I mean, they were super strict and they were harsh against anybody that they caught disobeying the law. Jesus told them, you received the law at the dispensation of angels and none of you have kept it. Did you know Jesus told guys that? I mean, the strictest guys afloat, the strictest guys, strictest religious people there were. None of you have kept it. Well, David realized that he couldn't. So what did he say in the conclusion? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And then he said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. If it wasn't for God keeping you from presumptuous sin, you'd never want to be backslid right now. I would too, you know. But God, it's only through God keeping us. His law is wonderful. God loves obedience. He hates disobedience. So just be ever as obedient as you know how to do. God set laws, and he set rules. Does he want us to ignore those rules and just say they're no good? David didn't say they're no good. They're more to be desired than gold. But I tell you, even though we haven't kept them all and we can't keep them all, praise God, he is a God that cleanses. He that did a marvelous work out there in the universe does his marvelous work of cleansing. I praise God that I am cleansed. We had a good message last night, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. All right. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Praise God, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then he come down to this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Yes, he started out by the glory that is out there. But oh, when he works his glory in us, when he works in the meditation of our heart and in the words of our mouth, God is doing his refined work. I notice we go on the mission field and stay gone 2 years and then we come back. And we know people that we've heard how they express what God is doing with them. And we see God's doing his refinement. I was sitting across the table from a wonderful brother just this morning. And I was telling him, I can see God is doing his work of quickening his word, the knowledge of his word to you and me. Is he doing that in you? Are you letting him doing that in you? Are you letting him refine his the preaching? Refine as that precious gold, more precious than gold tried in the fire. Yes, he's not behind schedule in carrying out his plan that he intended to do from the foundation of the world. He that has begun a good work in you, he's carrying you right on schedule. He has brought you here to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I saw last night, I heard a man speaking, but I heard more than just a man speaking. Let me tell you, God was speaking to my heart. One brother asked me, are you going to speak this morning? I said, what I really intend to do is make myself available for God to speak. And I tell you, Like I said earlier, we see natural things. We see things that are happening all around us, our natural surroundings. But, oh, I'm telling you, the meditation of our heart, God is drawing us there to that time, to a deeper meditation in Him and in the things of His Spirit. There's such a thing as shallow, you know, shallow knowledge and shallow meditation. There are many distractions that can come our way and many thoughts that can come and enter into our mind. But David was getting down to the very nitty-gritty of the work of God. The beginning and the finishing, you know. The beginning was that glory that it's out there. But God is getting right down to the nitty-gritty in you and me, dealing with the thoughts and the intents of our heart, with the meditation of our words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. God bless you. It has been a joy to share with you this morning. I look forward to hearing God speak more great and wonderful things. Is your cup right side up this morning? Are you going to keep your cup right side up? Are you going to keep it under the spout where the glory is coming out? God bless you. Thank you for being so attentive.